I invite you to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to be looking at verses 4 through 7 for the main part of our study here this evening. We have a few things to take care of before we get there, so bear with me if you will. Brother Jeff this morning discussed puppy love in illustrating some things concerning his lesson, and I want to start out this evening with telling you a story about a young man. He was in about the ninth grade, and that should be heard by you to mean that he was for sure in the ninth grade. I know him quite well. He was in about the ninth grade, and he had his eyes set on this beautiful young lady. And he just knew that this was the one, and puppy love set him. And finally, after a long period of time, he decided that he was confident enough to ask this young lady out, so he wrote this note, which said, "If," and it's underlined three times, "if I asked you out, would you go out with me?" This young lady wrote back, "I'm not sure right now." So the young man, being persistent as he was, wrote several other questions to ask to try to fill her out and find out where she was coming from and what she really meant by that. And he point blank just asked, "What do you mean by that?" Finally, things got to the point at which he wrote, "I'm just wanting to know if you like me or not. Yes or no, do you like me at all?" And he underlined "all" three times. This young lady said, "A little." But not enough to say yes, or too little to say no. Thankfully, that young lady reevaluated things. 3 years later, senior year, second week of school, that young man decided that he was confident enough again to ask the same young lady if she would go out with him. This time she said yes. And thankfully so. My wife Kayla is that young lady. And I myself am that young man. So now you know the history of how we ended up together. But being thankful for that reevaluation of things, I want to talk with you this evening about reevaluating love. Sometimes we're sloppy about the way that we use words. We throw them around flippantly, and they begin to lose their meaning. And if we're not careful, it carries over into the very way of our thinking. And probably no word has been more misused or overused than the word love. We talk about loving ice cream. We talk about loving cake. Some preachers like to talk about their love for eating in general. We talk about our love for cars. We talk about our love for the things we collect. And the list goes on and on. And we throw that term love around, and I wonder if because of our throwing around of that term, has it become a word that doesn't mean near as much to us as it used to? Does it really mean what we intend for it to mean? We listen to songs about love. We watch television and the actors and how they demonstrate love on television. And it influences our thinking about love and what love is and how love is demonstrated and what love does or does not do. And so tonight I'm asking you to go with me and reevaluate love. The Bible talks about love. In fact, our concept of love and the subsequent use of the word love is of great importance, as is seen in the first three verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. For an Alabama boy as myself, I have to bring that down where I can understand it. Paul is saying, it doesn't matter what I say if I don't have love. Because regardless of what I say, without love, I've just made a noise. I've just made a noise. He continues verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, he will go on to say, so that I could remove, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. I can know everything there is to know in this world that is capable of a human being knowing, but if I do not have love, it's nothing. It's useless to me. It continues, the end of verse 2, we read again, so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. He says, it doesn't matter what I do, if I do not have love, it is useless. I can understand Paul better now. He says, it doesn't matter what I say, it doesn't matter what I know, it doesn't matter what I do, if I do not have love with it, it's useless. When the Bible describes love, it describes love differently than what we may sometimes mean when we use that term. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7, gives some advice in four relations which concern our love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 4, it begins, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love is patient, bravely enduring misfortunes and troubles. Love is kind, showing oneself useful and benevolent. Love is not jealous. It does not get heated or boil with envy, hatred, or anger. When we tell the saints that we love them, do we mean that we love them the way of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 explains love? Do we, as Jeff asked us to consider this morning, love our brothers and sisters in Christ without hypocrisy? We need to reevaluate love and what we mean by it in relation to the saints and make sure we're not throwing around that term of love in a way that will decrease its meaning when we truly do mean that we love the brotherhood, that we love our brothers and sisters in Christ. He continues, verse number 4, Paul continues, love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own. Love is not boastful. Love does not praise itself. Love is not proud or rude. It is not arrogant. Love never seeks its own way. Thus, with true love, it is never my way or the highway. We need to make sure that our love for self is not boastful, is not proud, is not rude, or all of the above. Love is something to be shared. It's about others. Love is about those whom we share it with. And therefore, it should be guarded with the utmost of effort. Love is truly like a lucky penny. If you hold it tight, you won't have any. Give it away and you'll have plenty. You'll end up having more. But it's got to be the right kind of love. And it's got to mean something when you say it. It would do us well to reevaluate love in relation to self every now and again. So I ask you this evening to reevaluate love in relation to yourself. Paul continues, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 5. He concludes, is not provoked, thinks no evil. Verse 6, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love is not irritable. Love does not keep a record of wrongs. It does not have a little book in which it makes marks of deposits and withdrawals. It forgives and it moves on, always looking forward in its relationships. Love is never glad about injustice toward others or unrighteousness, but rather love weeps. It weeps at the sight of sin or the folly of even an enemy. Love weeps. When is the last time that you or I one wept because of someone else's sin? When is the last time that we wept because of someone else's misfortune? True love wants sin to be forgiven and forgotten forever. In relation to sin, we need to reevaluate love. He turns then to the positive things of love once again, saying that love rejoices in the truth. In fact, love loves to see God's creatures give in to what is the truth and make needed corrections in their life. How do we react to sin? How do we react to evil that is done toward us or toward others? Do we react in love? Do we need to reevaluate our love in relation to sin? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 7. Speaking of love, he says, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never gives up. It bears all things, covering evil with silence. It never loses faith, always believing that something good is just around the corner. Love is not gullible, but it has faith in men that the right thing will be done. Therefore, it believes in anything that builds one's character. Love is always hopeful. And when belief is taken or destroyed, hope still remains that all will turn out well. Love endures through every circumstance. Love perseveres the injustice, the malice, and cruelty of men through Christ who strengthens. Love carries on like a stout-hearted soldier. An unknown author once penned, love is silence when your words would hurt, patience when your neighbor is curt. Deafness when the scandal flows. Thoughtfulness for another's woes. Promptness when stern duty calls. Courage when misfortune falls. In Matthew chapter 22, beginning in verse number 35 and going through verse 40, Jesus taught that the great commandment in the law was to love. Matthew chapter 22, beginning in verse 35, "Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, and saying, 'Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law?' Jesus said to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.'" I have to believe that when Jesus used the term love, as read in Matthew chapter 22, verses 35 and following, that he had not used that word so flippantly and thrown it around about so many things that it didn't mean something to those who heard it. I have to believe that when Jesus used the term love, it caught the attention of not only the lawyer, but the scribes who were there witnessing it, and all those who were round about. It perked up their ears to hear what he had to say about love. And so they readily recognized the importance that Jesus placed on loving God with all the heart, with all the soul, with all the mind. If 1 Corinthians chapter 13's use of the word love doesn't square with the way that we have thought about love before, then maybe we need to take some time to reevaluate and think again about love. In fact, we should spend some time looking at our lives and asking ourselves if we love the way that the Bible explains love. I want to bring our attention to one more reading, that of 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. 1 John chapter 5, beginning of verse 1. "Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves Him who begat also loves Him who is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God." That is the love that Paul was talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Our love toward the brothers and sisters in Christ, our love toward the saints, is our love that we have for people, especially for others, but including ourselves as well. We know that we have this kind of love, like that of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, when we love God and keep His commandments. Verse number 3, he continues, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome." Do we have true biblical love. When we say that we love the saints, when we say that we love ourselves, when we say that we have love in relation to sin, when we say that we have love in relation to various situations that may come up, do we mean love in the way that the Bible reveals love? Does it mean anything to us for a brother or sister in Christ to tell us that they love us? To love God and to love our brothers and sisters is to obey God and keep His commandments. As John wrote about in his gospel, the same can be said of all Scripture, that they were written that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing we may have life in His name. John 20, verse 30 and 31. Has something been said or something been done today that has convicted you of sin that needs to be repented of? Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. Have you confessed belief in Christ as the Son of God? Acts 8, verse 37. Have you been baptized for the remission of your past sins? Acts 2 and verse 38. In reevaluating our love in relation to the saints, in relation to ourselves, in relation to sin, and in relation to situations, is there a need for repentance and for the seeking of forgiveness in your life? Love. I believe the song of encouragement that has been selected is No, Not One. The love that Jesus has for us, there's not another one that has love for us like He does. May we not be so flippant as to throw around the term of love so that when we hear of the love that Christ has for us, that it fails to have the effect that it ought to have. Tonight, there's someone here. There's someone in need of Christ's love. There's someone who's needing the love of the brothers and sisters in Christ to encourage them, to lift them up. And it's going to be out of love for the Father that they respond this evening. Is that need yours?